The Trans Reality, How We Protect Children Whilst Protecting Rights. You're listening to The Last Gay Conservative. I'm your host, Chad Law. Hello, everybody, and let's go, Brandon. Folks, welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. It's me, Chad Law, your host with the most, America's binary brother, and the holiest homo of all time, sending common sense conservative politics through the airwaves on our red, white, and blue rainbow. Well, it is a beautiful Saturday today in Newport Beach. Looking out the window, looks like the yachts and the boaters are taking advantage of the sun that we haven't seen in quite a bit. And it's just absolutely amazing to be looking out at the water again. Well, folks, we're back on track and I'm very excited to be along the journey again with you all. And I want to thank you for your patience during our break. Trust me, I missed you much more than you missed me. In today's episode, I really want to focus on one topic and one topic only, which is what I call our trans reality. We have some serious issues with how we're approaching the trans situation. And it's a touchy subject for me because I have my personal beliefs, but I also have the reality, and we also have to fall back on the Constitution and the fundamental beliefs of the country overall. Quite frankly, I believe there's a lot of heads buried in the sand, trying to pretend like we're not in the situation that we're in. I also believe that those that are so strongly opposed to transgenderism need to learn to separate transgender adults, transgender children, transgenderism grooming, as well as trans people overall. Because if we know anything, it's that it's very difficult to cast a wide net over a group of people with the assumption that they're all the same, but we know they're not. Because think about detransitioners or people that are miserable after their transition. They can't be held accountable in the same way that a parent would be for allowing their child to undergo gender-affirming care as a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old, which is absolutely disgusting. I want to talk a lot about that. They certainly have strong feelings, and I'm not sure if the current approach is the correct approach in order for us to maintain our conservative political values. Religion is one thing. And as a Christian, I have some serious challenges with transgenderism. But as an American, I can't allow my religious beliefs to underestimate the rights of the people. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I want to take a quick break and we'll be back after these words. We received the following email from one of our Gaily News subscribers, and I thought I'd read it to y'all. It says, Chad, the Gaily News rocks. Twice a day, I scan my phone, and I know immediately what's going on. The last few times I've read your stories, it shows up on Tucker the next day, or even a few days later. More importantly, I work with a ton of libs. His words, not mine. And when I feel like fighting, I use your news to prove them wrong. Charlie. There you have it, folks. It is the number one tool for conservatives today, the Gaily News. Make sure you go on to The Last Gay Conservative and subscribe to my Gaily News. You can also subscribe to podcast updates, my Wednesday weekly opinion, and much more. If you can't get enough of me on the air here, you can certainly get me in your inbox twice a day with verified, vetted, and personalized stories for you. Go to lastgayconservative.com and put your name in any of the many subscription boxes on the website, and you will be the most intelligent and most informed conservative in any room. Well, folks, like I mentioned, there's a lot of trans stuff going on. It's been the topic of conversation for many years, and it's continually getting more intense. And like I've always said, A lot of this is a reflection of the trans community, because instead of taking a peaceful, educational approach to empower people to understand what they're going through, what their movement is, they've waged war on Americans. And it's combative, it's aggressive, and it pushes people to the wall, which we know will ultimately default in people disagreeing what they're being forced to choose between. Saw it with gay marriage. I experienced it. It wasn't until gays took a step back and chilled out a little bit, the San Francisco and the West Hollywood gays that had waged war, that were protesting Mormon churches and doing all sorts of wacky political moves. And all it did was create more division, more hate, and more discrimination. Once we took a step back and we began to look at ourselves as an equal part of society and apply the same societal norms as what the average American has, and immersed ourselves in American culture and the day-to-day, it wasn't until then that we really got to the point where we are now, which is homosexuality, gayness, gay marriage is part of our everyday routine, regardless of if you believe it's right or wrong, which is completely up to you. There was a couple of big things that happened, and I wanted to go through them because it really triggered my mind to think about what is the solution to some of this trans nonsense. And how can we streamline our opinion, our approach, our beliefs, and separate it out in the multiple pieces that transgenderism contains? Because we know one size doesn't fit all. So I don't know how many of y'all saw this. There was a event with Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. And there was a trans boy or a trans man in the audience with his father. And he simply asked Youngkin, what are you doing about the trans issue? What is your plan to make sure that trans people are safe and to make sure that trans people and straight or cis people can live together? Now, I'm paraphrasing all of this. It was quite simple and to the point. Have a listen.
I want to bring in Nico, a 17-year-old student from Arlington. Nico?
Governor Youngkin, your transgender model policies require that students play on the sports teams and use the restrooms that correspond with their sex assigned at birth. Look at me. I am a transgender man. Do you really think that the girls in my high school would feel comfortable sharing a restroom with me?
Yep. So first of all, Nico, thank you for, again, asking the question, being here tonight and engaging in this important discussion. I believe first, when parents are engaged with their children, then you can make good decisions together. And I met your dad, and I'm glad that you're both here together. That's really, really important. I also think that there are lots of students involved in this decision. And what's most important is that we try very hard to accommodate students. That's why I have said many, many times, we just need extra bathrooms in schools. We need gender neutral bathrooms. And so people can use a bathroom that they, in fact, are comfortable with. I think sports are very clear, and I don't think it's controversial. I don't think that biological boys should be playing sports with biological girls. There's been decades of efforts in order to gain opportunities for women in sports, and it's just not fair. And I think that's non-controversial and something that I think is pretty well understood. Again, I think these are very difficult discussions, and I am very, very glad to see you and your dad here together.
So I love Youngkin's answer here. I think it's fantastic. I think it's simple, and I think it's to the point. I believe that he answered the question truthfully without trying to pander during this event. But of course, the drive-by media, as well as conservatives, have criticized him from one side all the way to the left, to the other side, all the way to the right, to the liberals. They've made it sound like this kid schooled Glenn Youngkin, and Glenn Youngkin fell victim to a smart young trans man who put him on his toes. Well, that's not the case. Kid was there with his dad, and you can hear it. You heard it. It was a very honest discussion, and there was no beating. This wasn't a debate. This was a conversation. And the fact that Youngkin brought the dad into the mix in the beginning of his response, I thought was handled nobly with a lot of grace. And I also think that it speaks to exactly how we should be looking at our trans reality. Youngkin says, I love that you're here with your dad. And that's the first step. And that's what we need to realize, that the transgender opposition should really start and focus 90% on the children, as well as working with parents to understand and give them the tools to handle a teen or one of their children that may be suffering from gender dysphoria without having them get castrated, etc., therapy options, whatever it might be. So I think he handled it with a lot of grace. And I say that because this is something that we need to understand. So what I love is that he said, we need separate bathrooms. That was his big point. And so, of course, all the conservatives, oh, Youngkin's a rhino. He's a rhino. Why is rhino the conservatives' version of racist for the left? It's like the left, everyone's racist. And now with conservatives, everyone's a rhino if they don't disagree or agree, excuse me, if they don't agree with everything that Trump wants, essentially, or that other conservatives want, which is fine. But Glenn Youngkin is not a rhino. He's a conservative, true and true. We have an obligation to accommodate people, whether by choice or by disability. What do I mean by that? I'll give you an example. In the U.S., we essentially have the rights to do whatever we want until it infringes on someone else or endangers someone else. One of those rights might be to sit down at McDonald's, supersize me style, and eat your way to 500 pounds. Well, we still accommodate 500 pound people. We have to make sure they have double seat belts on the plane. Most of them receive disability benefits because of some of the after effects from being morbidly obese, taxpayers contribute to. Furthermore, we also have the right to undergo any sort of plastic surgery that we want, whether it's a breast enhancement, a Brazilian butt lift, tummy tuck, or complete facial reconstructive surgery. Those are our rights. If you go through facial reconstructive surgery and it forces you to need certain accommodations, we accommodate people. That's what happens here. So for people to say that we shouldn't accommodate trans people, and remember, we're talking about trans adults. There should be no trans children. That should not be a thing. Let me make that very clear here. The number one priority should be to protect kids. And unfortunately, the media has made it sound as though it's these blanket laws, even though 90% of the laws are for kids. We have to make that more clear to the Americans, that we're really focused on the kids and we're only focused on transgender adults who use their transgender status to commit crimes or to do bizarre things that make other people uncomfortable. However, every adult has the right to change their gender the same way we have the right to become 500 pounds or get plastic surgery. That is a right. You can agree with it or not. You can say that it's not part of your religious belief system. And you have that right as well, which I agree with. But pretending like transgenderism is just going to go away one day, or that we can actually fight it out of our society, is not only ignorant, but it's dangerous and keeps us from making common sense policies that protect our children and ensure that adults who are transgender can still live comfortably. And I'm sorry to say that, because I don't personally believe in transgenderism. I believe that it's a mental health issue, similar to dissociative personality disorder. However, in the scheme of things, that doesn't mean that there's no transgender people. It doesn't mean that the transgender war hasn't entered through the front door of every American household today. So when Youngkin says we're going to separate out the bathrooms, that's an accommodation that we should all be able to get behind, because there are trans people. So you can't sit there and say they shouldn't be allowed to use the restroom that doesn't correspond with their biological sex, and then also say creating a restroom situation where there is a removal of discomfort by accommodating them in order to make us feel safe, the whole feel safe, or the whole feel comfortable. No one wants some man in a girl's locker room. So what's the problem with having a locker room that works, or a locker room situation that works for everyone? That's not rhino. That's not caving to transgender people. All it is saying, This is our reality. This has already infiltrated American culture through and through. So we need to do something that protects us, protects everyone, but also doesn't jeopardize the American right to chop your penis off. I think it's vile. I don't agree with it, but people are protected to do that. If they're not, then we should stop accommodating morbidly obese people who made themselves obese by exercising their right. You have to pay for the consequences of your actions, but we still accommodate as a country. It's woven into the fabric of our country. I think we're over-accommodating, and I don't necessarily agree with the way we accommodate, but it's there. And when there's a faction of society that's disrupting the majority of society, you have two choices, or maybe three. You can expel that faction so they're completely gone, which is an impossible non-reality for us here. You can pretend that it doesn't exist, or you can understand the reality of the situation and try to figure out how to make it work whilst protecting children and keeping people feeling comfortable and safe. Having trans surgery, transitioning, is not illegal. Just like having plastic surgery is not illegal. Just like becoming a diabetic because you're overweight and going on Medi-Cal to get free healthcare that we pay for, it's not illegal for them to shove their face until they're obese. And I can say that because I was obese. It's 312 pounds. And I shoved my face. That's why it was there. So when it was time for some accommodation, I never needed the double seatbelt and stuff. But my point is that we've created tools in place to accommodate morbidly obese people, which is a result of choices. We have to apply that same mentality to transgenderism, or we're going to just remain the same in a constant combative war, which does no one any good. Restrooms are the first accommodation we should make. Trans people exist. They have to go to the bathroom. That's our reality. Whether you agree with it or not, that is the reality. So creating a restroom environment or situation that accommodates everyone as best as we can is not rhino or liberal or caving. It's just common sense. The same goes with athletics, folks. Athletics. I've been saying this since day one. Trans women who were originally men competing against biological women, constantly winning because of their physical capabilities, exceeding or overpowering what a typical biological woman would have as far as her capabilities. And so I've said forever, just create a separate league for trans people. Because as you know, trans men who used to be women, they can't compete against biological men. They will lose every time badly. On the flip side of that, trans women who used to be men completely take away the fair competition in sports because they physically dominate in every category. And that's just evolution. That's just science. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Men physically dominate women as far as muscle mass, bone structure, height, etc. That's just there. Again, a reality. So when you take a losing side, the trans men that used to be women that can never win against biological men, and then you take the winning side, which is trans women who used to be men that dominate and destroy biological women, and you put them together in a league, it completely balances out and creates, what do you know, fair competition. Oh, but oh no, we can't separate them. That's like segregation. That's like putting blacks at the back of the bus. Really? Last time I checked, race had nothing to do with someone's biological sex and how they compete. In other words, black women and white women, biological women, there's no huge differentiator that would create an unbalanced playing field or an uneven playing field. Race is not gender. Very, very different, because gender involves physical capabilities, biological and physiological capabilities that come with one sex or the other. It defines your entire structure. Whereas your skin color doesn't. It's very different. And so for any liberal to make that comparison is so asinine that it doesn't even make sense. So to me, accommodating trans people, adults in college, not talking about anything under 18. Let me make that very clear. But you have trans people in college that are adults and had every right to transition. Accommodating that by creating a separate league that balances out both sides of the transgender spectrum is accommodating them while keeping competition fair and equal in traditional sports, or not even traditional sports, in the traditional team structure, the sense of team and competition. So what I'm trying to say here, folks, is that we've got to get real, because you either come up with solutions or you complain. And I'm sorry, your solution cannot be to eradicate transgender people. We can put checks in place to make sure the mentality or the culture of transgenderism is controlled as much as possible so it doesn't have an impact on our kids, our youth, our workspaces, etc. But we can't eradicate them, which is so sick for me to even hear the words coming out of my mouth. But quite honestly, there's a population within the conservative movement that thinks that there should be zero accommodation. Well, in the perfect world, there would be no accommodation for anyone because everyone would be accountable for themselves. Yet that's not the world we live in. That's not the country we live in. So how do we protect kids whilst protecting the rights of adults who choose to transition? Youngkin said it. The first thing is bathrooms. Bathroom safety is very, very important. That protects the rights of trans people to have a restroom to go to, and it also keeps others safe from some of the actions that have happened, as well as just the pure discomfort of seeing a chick with a dick in the locker room with you. So having that separation is good. Whether you consider it an incorrect form of accommodation, again, my personal beliefs have to get checked at the door here. Everyone needs to check their personal beliefs at the door when it comes to transgenderism, because it's here. There's no going back, folks. And it's been here for a very long time. The problem is that now it's all over the media and they've waged war. And in a war, in order to control the enemy, sometimes you have to create certain exceptions to get the war calmed down. Make people believe that they've won, give them part of what they want without jeopardizing your family life, your cultural life, your safety, and your comfort. Only way to do that is with separation. That's it. In sports and in bathroom usage, etc. The focus needs to be on the kids. We have to focus on anti-grooming. We have to focus on removing literature. I don't even call it literature. Removing propaganda from schools that perpetuates transgenderism and plants the seed in a young person's head. That should be our focus. Because when you start to eliminate some of the lead-ins or it's like clickbait for kids to then explore their gender, which shouldn't even be a thing. No one should be exploring their gender as a child because they don't have sexual impulses as children yet. Gender and your gender identity comes later when you understand what your sexual preferences are and you understand what gender even is. And so what's happening in schools is that we're teaching things and we're putting curriculum in front of people and books in front of kids about transgenderism, which is an issue they would have never thought about before at that age. So we're creating something that never should have been created and does not match with the developmental process of children. That should be our focus, and that is what we should talk about. Sadly, most of the protections, the legislation that protects kids, is being sold to America as discriminatory anti-trans legislation. It's not anti-trans. It's anti-gender ideology, gender-affirming care, and having gender discussions with kids without parents present or in the know. But everyone thinks they're just these big bans on transgender people, like we're going to just lock them up in a cage. That's not the case. And we need to be very clear when we go out and we talk about it that our focus is protecting kids. Our focus is removing inappropriate literature and propaganda, trans propaganda, from schools for our young people to come to those conclusions on their own and allow the mental health issue, the version of dissociative disorder that I talk about when it comes to being transgender, allow that to come out on its own, 100% on its own, which is almost impossible because it's all over social media and girls see these other girls who are transitioning to men who say they feel great because they're on hormones, because as a teenager, your hormones are raising. I don't need to tell you this, guys, because I've already talked about it a million times. I know you know what I'm trying to say. We have to get real about transgenderism and create common sense policy that works as best as possible for everyone. So it drives me insane when Glenn Youngkin, who's one of the most common sense conservatives I've ever met and dealt with, a businessman whose job his whole life has been accommodating investors, accommodating his employees, accommodating his partners. He understands accommodation very well. And so for people to jump up and call him a rhino and criticize him for answering this child or this kid that he wants to focus on the bathroom issue because that's the pressing issue. So cis people or non-trans people can feel comfortable and safe, and trans people can feel comfortable and safe. Because on the flip side, when there's a trans woman who used to be a man in the women's restroom, sometimes they get beaten up. Or vice versa, a previous woman who's now transitioned or is in the process of transitioning to a man goes into the man's restroom and gets beaten up because people are uncomfortable. So why not separate it? It protects everyone involved. And that is the American way, doing our best to protect everyone involved in this melting pot of a society. And the challenge is that the transgender movement and this war has ramped up so fast, so aggressively, so combatively, that I don't think we've had the ability to take a step back and say, okay, how do we work within the reality? How do we have a realistic conversation about what we can do to protect everyone? Is it ideal? Absolutely not. Should we change the DSM, the approach that doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists take when it comes to treating transgenderism? Absolutely. Should we stop the influx of trans propaganda in schools so children don't get ideas in their head that they can run with because they're creative and they don't necessarily know at that point in their life to separate daydream from reality? Absolutely. However, should we ostracize a faction of society, making it worse, making it more aggressive, making it more uncomfortable for everyone, and pretend that they're eventually going to go away? No, we cannot do that. Nothing good ever comes from that. Nothing good ever comes from burying your head in the sand. So good for Youngkin for being real and understanding that this is a real issue that needs to be addressed and focused on kids whilst protecting trans people, trans adults' rights to transition. Folks, I don't like it as much as you do, but it is their right. It is a right. Because the second we start manipulating medical rights that people have is the second that everyone starts to lose rights. Because when does one stop and the other one start? We have to make this about kids and no longer about adults. And we have to be able to realize that trans people aren't going anywhere, whether you like it or not, and ignoring it and thinking that you're going to defend yourself to the point where it goes away is just stupid. And if you don't think that trans adults have a constitutional right to change their gender the same way that you have the constitutional right to change your cheekbones and your nose and your breasts and your ass, then you're not conservative. I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, but it's true. Where do the rights start and stop? Our job as conservatives is to create more rights and preserve our rights. Whether or not we agree with the morals of the right, we have to preserve those rights because when you take them away, it's a domino of taking away more rights for us. It never just stops and starts within one faction of society. That's not how things work. Once there's a right taken away, that creates precedent to remove more rights. So the first thing we have to do is come to the agreement that getting or going through transitional surgery or care or whatever you want to call it is a right of Americans when they're adults. So what can we actually do to prevent this from becoming an epidemic? Like I said, you start with a younger population and you make sure that they're protected from some of these grotesque thoughts and grooming and leading literature that sort of idealizes transgenderism. And it does exist. We remove that. We also need to remove the government-funded transition programs. Medi-Cal should not cover, when I say Medi-Cal, I mean Medicaid, excuse me, which is the federal Medi-Cal is the federal version. Man, guys, I cannot get my words right today. Sorry, I am jumbling like crazy. Medi-Cal is the state version of Medicaid here in California. It is 100% taxpayer funded, and it's supposed to be a social service, part of social services to help the poor who can't get health care. That social service is supposed to be a basic healthcare program to make sure that people who have fallen on hard times aren't able to get their prescriptions, go to the doctor, go to the ER, etc. It should be basic care, just like it shouldn't cover a tummy tuck. What's the difference? There is no difference. And it's an aesthetic surgery. One's much more extreme than the other. We know that. But there is no difference. Elective procedures should not be covered by taxpayer dollars, period. What's the key word there? Elective. If you are making the choice to do something because it's your right, it doesn't mean that it should be paid for by the public. That's the issue right there, folks. We have made it way too easy for people to transition. We have made it way too easy for school districts and teachers and principals to peddle this disgusting propaganda to our kids. Does that mean that trans adults don't exist? No. Does that mean that once we do that, there's not going to be any more issues that we need to accommodate for our sake and theirs? No, it does not mean that. It means we can control the things like the books, the education, etc., that would create that creates a man-made issue. In other words, people seeing on social media, people seeing and glorifying transgenderism in school, those books that we just talked about, Planned Parenthood that we just talked about, gender-affirming care. Can we control all of that? Yes. What will happen then is that the man-made trans people, people who are doing it because of outside circumstances, not because they actually have gender dysphoria, that number will drop dramatically because there's a huge population. All you have to do is look at the numbers. I mean, I recommend everyone read this Abigail Schreier book. It's called Irreversible Damage, and it's about how the demographic of gender dysphoria has changed. And a lot of that is man-made. It's based on grooming. It's based on social media, etc. So a massive population of trans people don't actually have gender dysphoria. But there are people that do, and it's been around for many, many years. It's been in the DSM since, I think, 1940 or 50. So when that's the case, we got to do something smart about it, right? I mean, am I just talking out of my ass here, people, or do you agree? You got to let me know on Twitter or something, because I'm so worked up by the fact, first of all, I am so tired of the rhino finger pointing to people who aren't rhinos. It's ridiculous. It's like the left calling everyone racist. So because Glenn Youngkin says that there should be separate bathrooms, that makes him a rhino? That makes him caving to the left? No, that makes him a realist, which is what we should all be striving to do. Because if we're making decisions and our beliefs are solely based on our personal ideals, we'll never make progress and get to a situation where we can appeal to everyone, which never actually happens, but we can get as close as possible. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back after these words. Usually when I travel, I never leave Ron at one of these kennels or whatnot, but there is one doggy spa in Orange County that does a great job. So I left him there while I went to Washington, D.C. and some of my other trips to Florida, etc. I left him there for 5 days. I had to leave his Darwin's food with him. I came back. The owner of the place comes up to me and says, "Where do you get this food? This is the best raw food I've ever seen. I've never heard of Darwin's. I couldn't believe when I looked at the chart that your dog was 5 years old. This stuff is like a miracle." And I said, "I know. I talk about it on my show all the time. It's darwinspet.com. You can try it right now for $20. Go to bed every night knowing you're doing everything you possibly can for the health and wellness of your pet. Again, darwinspet.com. Get that first box today and see, feel, and experience the difference." All right. Now that I did my monologue and explained my frustration with some of the left factions calling all of us conservatives anti-trans, like we want to take them out like Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, that is how they're painting the picture. Like conservatives want to eradicate transgenderism. That is not what I believe. I want to eradicate transgenderism that is not truly gender dysphoria as defined by the DSM, that is not driven by grooming in schools or social media or private gender counseling. That's what needs to be eradicated. Then the true trans people, the true people suffering from gender dysphoria will emerge, and the rest of the people will have an opportunity to really look at these things instead of jumping into decisions and knowing whether or not their thoughts are real, idealized, or even their own thoughts. I mean, and I think the same thing applies to homosexuality. I don't think if a 9-year-old comes and says they're gay to you, you should just cave. I think you should say, "Well, okay, if you feel that way right now, things might change. Let's have an open dialogue about it." And a lot of times it's experimental, it's hormones. And then they, you know, the 9-year-old becomes 15 and they realize, "Wow, I really like tits and ass. I was just confused." And the same thing should apply across the board. That's real. That's common sense. Yeah, I know. They're waving me to get to the next segment. So the next part of the trans thing that really got my goat, I don't know if y'all saw Drew Barrymore's show when she hosted Dylan Mulvaney, who's, don't even get me started on Dylan. However, she was a guest on Drew Barrymore's show, and some really weird kind of actions transpired. And of course, then Megyn Kelly, who is trying to be Miss Conservative again after she left Fox, basically got canned from Fox because she was such a, talk about a rhino. Megyn Kelly's conservative now because she couldn't hack it in the mainstream media. And she also couldn't hack it at Fox because she was a rhino. So anyone who's taking her at face value for being a conservative, don't. Because Megyn does things for ratings. She knows exactly what she's doing. She doesn't walk the walk. She talks the talk. And I know that for a fact. So understand that she is not this right-wing, powerful, MAGA, conservative, and part of the movement that you and I are all part of. She's a podcaster who's trying to pander to the base that she originally had from Fox that she completely ostracized and completely removed herself. She went to the mainstream media, couldn't hack it, did a terrible job, and realized that she can't be successful without marketing herself and without being more conservative. So she went on a tirade about how Drew Barrymore got down on her knees and was praising Dylan for being strong. Have a listen here.
"Where do you draw boundaries? Where do you find the strength to keep being the joy?"
"Well, I think having my chosen family and the people that I love to take care of me. But I also think there's something just about making sure that you don't put something out there before you're ready, and really just surrounding yourself with good people. It's interesting because I look at someone like you and I can't imagine anybody disliking you."
"Oh, please. Do you want to know, ironically, who dislikes me the most sometimes?"
"Who?"
"Myself."
"Oh, me too."
"Oh. And, but I guess, you know, you've asked me, like,
what I would do to combat the hate, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do?
Okay, that's a great question.
So as you can see, the whole situation was very dramatic and Drew Barrymore was gushing, but she gushes about everything. Okay, this is Drew Barrymore's personality. First of all, she came out and said, as you heard, do you want to know, ironically, who dislikes me the most sometimes? Myself. In the overall context, talking to a transgender person, probably not the best choice of words. It does idealize and sort of blend the message that it's okay to not like yourself in the context of gender, because that was the purpose of the show. If she was saying that to someone who was, you know, a major athlete who was talking about imposter syndrome, et cetera, that would make sense. But it was a little odd, as you heard during the show. So she gets down on the floor and she's hugging and saying, I love you. And, you know, and Drew's almost 50 and everyone coming out and saying, Dylan Mulvaney is not a girl. She's a biological man. I agree. But guess what? She's out there. She's got a huge following on TikTok. She's on Drew Barrymore's show because it drives ratings, right? So do we criticize Drew Barrymore for gushing over her guest and not treating her much differently than she does most of her guests? I mean, it was a little bit much, but Drew Barrymore is a bit much. She's just a big, I don't want to say clown, but she's, you know, she just has that personality that's just always like, oh, I love it. Rather than being a little bit more moderate. You know, then Megyn Kelly goes on and says, oh, she was praying to the transgender altar of Dylan Mulvaney. Give me a break. That is not what she was doing. Megyn Kelly goes on to say, as an image, encapsulate a lot of what is driving actual biological women nuts about this whole evolution, which is trans women are coming into our locker rooms, in our sports, in our bathrooms, in our college, and so on, and taking over, she explained. And we as women are expected to take the knee and just be thankful and say, we appreciate what you're doing to us, and anything else means you're a bigot. On one hand, she's correct. On the other hand, she's not addressing the situation that these Dylans exist. So they either are in your bathroom and locker room, or they have separate ones. Again, you... We can't say, no, we're not going to accommodate trans people. And then what? I'd rather have a trans person in a separate locker room versus pretending like it doesn't exist and forcing the biological sex to use the corresponding restroom. That doesn't mean their wig won't be on. Doesn't mean their outfit won't be a woman's outfit for a trans woman, vice versa. Well, that's why I don't get it. Sports, same thing. Now, again, we have to look at this the same way that we look at race. Your brain and your gender, of course, your gender impacts the way we think as men and women. But intellectually, women are capable of having higher or just as high IQs as men. It's not like sports where it's physical. Mentally, intellect should be seen as something even across the board. Now, when it comes to college admissions, again, assuming that their admission is based merely on intellect and merely on their ability to, you know, score well on the tests, have good grades, be a good student, nothing to do with your race, your gender, nothing. Assuming that that's the case, which it's not, but assuming that that is the case, and the weight of acceptance is based more on intellect than it is on other factors, then college admissions shouldn't necessarily be a problem. The only time college admissions is a problem is when superficial attributes of a person, like gender, race, sexual orientation, because they are superficial, when those superficial attributes start to outweigh performance academically, that's where there's a problem. However, is that merely a trans issue? No. Look at the affirmative action case in the Supreme Court right now. Affirmative action has been around. So allowing trans people, giving trans people a step up is the same as giving Black people a step up, which there should be no steps. We should all be on the same sidewalk. So by Megyn Kelly, and I'm only saying this to demonstrate my point. For Megyn Kelly to say that they're taking over or being inserted into our colleges, we need to make sure that we differentiate the fact that getting into college based merely on performance academically should not be a race trans issue. The challenge is they're in our colleges. Trans are in our colleges, especially same all gender colleges, all women, all male colleges, because of the fact that they're trans. They're trans, their gender, their sexual orientation, and their race are taking precedent over the true purpose of college, which is academics, intellect. So that's not a trans issue. That's an educational issue. That's an academia issue. That's a woke liberal university issue. It's not a trans issue. But this is why we have the problem, because we don't articulate the difference. We don't articulate the fact that we believe, or we should believe, that adults have the right to transition. But we're going to do everything we can to block people. We're going to do everything we can to stop people from making the decision to transition based on outside circumstance, based on what they see, based on what they hear, based on what they learn, and not based on their actual mental health. That's what we focus on. And in the meantime, we create accommodations that help trans people feel safe and us feel safe and comfortable in sports, which is a trans issue. Locker rooms is a trans issue. College is not necessarily just a trans issue. It's a college admissions issue of weighting superficial things over what really matters, which is performance, intellect, test scores, etc. It's not an even playing field. She goes on to say, perhaps I should have been sitting on the floor when I asked Trump or any of these other guys tough questions. When did you ask Trump tough questions? All you did was sit there and complain about him and flip-flop and go up and down. I mean, it's funny how we all forget these people. Talk about a rhino. She might as well be Mitt Romney. But again, she goes away for a little bit, fails on TV, and now she's back rebranded as this true conservative. What a bunch of bullshit. She goes on to say, where are the strong women? Give me Nancy Pelosi any day over this pathetic display. I don't know. False strength by showing every weakness coming out of your pores. And it may all be an affectation, which makes it even more insulting. Again, not the point. Not the point. The point should be teenagers watch E.T. Drew Barrymore is glorifying this trans person. That's what should be blocked. The glorification, the idealizing transgenderism, the celebrity of transgenderism, which then trickles down into our schools and people think it's cool. It happens with gay all the time. People think it's cool. Kids think it's cool to come out as gay or pansexual or bi. And a lot of times they grow out of it. But we shouldn't be encouraging people to explore that. We should be encouraging people to sit back and let our bodies do the work as God intended. And if there's some crossed wires, which sometimes there is, like me, I could be an example of that, maybe. I believe I was born this way, but who knows? There could be evidence to the contrary someday. The point is, we have to be realistic here, guys. We have to be. We can't shut down our conservative partners because of accommodations. We can't. It's irresponsible. It's completely irresponsible. And that's what I don't love about people like Megyn Kelly, a fake conservative who left Fox News to go be in the drive-by media, who's now back pretending that she's this Trump conservative, her and her tough questions. God, she's a moron. She's so pretty, too. What a waste. But this is what's causing the problem. Truly, this is what's causing the problem. We have to begin to differentiate what our goal is, what the differences are, and how we're accommodating without taking away from the rights of other Americans. How does having a separate bathroom for trans people negatively impact your rights? I can't think of one. If you can, let me know, but I can't think of one. The whole Drew Barrymore thing, again, it's her show. You don't like it? Turn it off. We're not being forced to like it. I don't know what time it's on, but if it's on at, 7 p.m. then that shouldn't be there if she's going to act this way, because we know kids are still up and it could be in the background. But this is Entertainment Tonight. It's not Disney, which does it too, which should be controlled. I hope I've outlined my point here, because it's a little bit of a rant. But what I'm trying to say is that we have to think about solutions. And the only way to fix this problem is to stop it in its tracks, stop the incorrect approach in its tracks in education, pop culture, etc., that's geared to young people under 18, making it hard for people to transition if they're not truly suffering from gender dysphoria. So man-made, what I would call man-made gender or man-made transitions, stop. That's what we focus on, okay? We also need to acknowledge that anyone over 18 has a right to chop their dick off, because they do. We also have to acknowledge that although we might not like making special accommodations, it's something that has to be done, and we have to approach it the same way we approach the 600-pound person who slides burgers down their throat every day. Because we're paying for that care. Those people are getting Medicaid. They can't go to work. We're paying for that care, which again, bariatric surgery, an elected procedure. Should it be covered by Medicaid? No. Nothing elective should be covered by Medicaid. If you're going to cover someone's transition through my tax dollars, then I want my Botox and my Juvederm paid for as well. Because ultimately, it's the same thing. It's purely aesthetic and it's elective. That's an accommodation we're making now that's not working. That's the liberal bullshit, because it's not common sense. It's fairy tale land, trying to convince everyone that all of these people, this huge skyrocketing population of girls transitioning to boys, is natural. There's no man-made influences. There's no grooming. Well, the numbers sure don't match that. Tell me why. As transgenderism has grown in social media, as we've discovered this propaganda in schools, the population has skyrocketed, because a huge percentage of it is man-made. Whether that's being peddled by the government, I don't know. I'm not that deep into a conspiracy of it, but there is some serious things to look at. Maybe when I have Donna on, or our conspiracy corner, she can kind of break down some of the more gray area, or the purpose that government would want to create a transgender society. That's not my wheelhouse. The only way to approach this problem is to adamantly protect kids while also understanding the rights of every American, including people who suffer from gender dysphoria. Stop funding the care. Stop reading the books. Stop having private counseling sessions. Stop weighting your gender within a college application. Those are the things that need to be eradicated. And then once that is more under control, we will see a huge decline in this skyrocketing population. It will swing back to what it has been historically, which is a small population, mostly of men who transition to be women. This switch of women transitioning to be men is very new. That's why we know that it comes from some sort of cultural or pop cultural phenomenon. So until we get that under control, we have to have accommodations for the situation that we're in now. Do we need to go overboard? No. Do we need to put tampons in the men's restroom? No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a separate bathroom, a separate sports league. Because again, it's not segregation when it's about born attributes that you are born with that, again, impact the playing field, the fairness for other people. That's what we're trying to avoid. And that's what will allow us as conservatives to win, because this is a huge issue. And I will tell you this, in the primary and the general election, if we come out swinging against transgender as a whole, and we don't talk about the actual facts, the populations, you can pull it right out of Abigail Schreier's book. It's an incredible read. I highly recommend it if you're interested in this. If we don't focus on that, if we don't have actual common sense plans, legislation, policies in place to share with Americans, we are never going to be able to overcome the mainstream media's picture they've painted that we're all homophobic, racist bigots. And people will believe it. And this is an area that we're winning with Americans But again, coming up on election, we know the media is going to do everything they can to switch and turn that. So being prepared for that with common sense steps will allow us to still shine during the election, because transgender and grooming education is a huge thing Americans are aligning with Republicans on. Education itself, critical race theory, etc., is a huge thing we're winning on. Economy, we're winning on. But when we come out and try to cast these big wide nets, we make it very easy for people to say, well, they just don't want any trans. They want to eradicate it, or they hate it. No, we acknowledge that it's their right, but we don't feel that it should be encouraged. Just like you don't encourage some child to think they're gay. Just like you don't have a child wear glasses that doesn't need glasses. It's truly that simple. Once we get there, we will dominate in the election over this issue, because we already have the border. We already have the economy, inflation, all the banks issues that are making Biden look bad. You know, the core issues. This election is going to come down to moral issues, rights, women's rights, trans rights, black rights, etc. That's what it's all going to come down to, because that's all the liberals have to talk about. So if we have rebuttals and plans that don't involve eradication or ignorance or turning our backs to a faction of society that exists, whether we like it or not, if we don't have that, then we will lose on one of the issues that this election will come down to. I promise. All right. Rant over. Until next time, I'm Chad Law, reminding you of what Reagan once said. Life is one grand sweet song, so start the music. God bless you, President Reagan, and may God save America.
Listen to The Last Gay Conservative Podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. We proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.